There are a lot of great things about being an adult, including things like setting your own bedtime and owning the pet of your choice. But perhaps most importantly, with age comes the wisdom and perspective we only wish we had when we were younger. So if you had the opportunity to go back in time, what would you like to tell your younger self? Now, that's what I'm going to discuss today with Mark Creedon in our monthly Build a Business, Not a Job podcast. But this is for you, even if you're not planning to go into business or a profession. But even though we can't go back in time, we can reflect on the hard-earned knowledge, what we wish we would have known then. And we can use that to inspire our future self. So I think you're going to enjoy my chat with Mark today, since I'm recording this introduction after my chat with Mark. There are actually a couple of other lessons I would have liked to share in the chat that you're going to be listening to in a moment. So I'd like to start off with those thoughts before we get into the meat of the podcast. You see, my younger self probably wouldn't have listened to a long-winded advice session. So I'd keep it simple and I'd say, stop trying to change yourself to please others and start focusing on things that fill you with joy. You'll see that you're enough exactly as you are. And I hope my younger self would have paid attention. I'd also tell my younger self that it's okay to fail, but you've got to keep trying. You're going to hear Mark and me give some similar advice in our main chat in a moment. But it took me many years to realize that failure was merely a stepping stone to bigger and better things. Without failure, there's no lessons. Of course, you've got to learn from your failures. If your idea won't be successful, I'd tell my younger self, especially the first time round, and you need to get up again and again many times in life. Entrepreneurship, whether property investor or in business, is built on belief, courage and strength and resilience. And unless you're willing to fail, I'd tell my younger self, you're never going to succeed. Over time, it's taught me that we can't control much in life. We control very little about what goes on, don't we? But I'd like to teach my younger self that we control nearly every aspect of our response to the situations, our response to the events, those things that are out of our control. I'd also tell my younger self that so much of what we're going to worry about doesn't really matter. I'd tell my younger self that everything's going to work out in the end and all the stresses and being overwhelmed isn't worth it. Now, I wonder whether I'd pay attention and listen. I hope I would. And you wouldn't be surprised that I'd be telling my younger self to invest in myself, invest in my goals and in my dreams, and love yourself to become the person you truly want to be. So with that longer introduction, let's get on with the main show where Mark Creedon and I will share with you some of the other things we'd like to go back in time and tell our younger self.
Welcome to the Michael Yardney Podcast, where twice each week you will learn a number of new ideas regarding success, property investment, and money in around 30 minutes. Our show is brought to you by Metropol, who specialize in helping you grow, protect, and pass on your wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. Now, here's your host, Michael Yardney, Australia's authority in wealth creation through property, who has been voted one of Australia's top 50 most influential thought leaders.
When we're young, we think we know it all. We have our whole lives ahead of us and exuberance and energy to go after anything we want. But our 20s also became a time of great insecurity. We were hungry, we were ambitious, but lacked the experience to know how to calculate risk properly. We didn't have that gut feeling or the perspective, and we, like if you were like me, probably weren't even prepared to learn from your mistakes. Put simply, we didn't have enough runs on the board when we were young to make fully informed decisions. But what would you do now? What would you do today if you could have a conversation with your bright-eyed 20-year-old something? If you could have given he or she the wisdom that you have today, what message would you give? What would you warn them about? What would you encourage them to do more of? That's what I'm going to be discussing today with Mark Creedon, founder of Business Accelerator Mastermind, and not only my business coach, but business coach to some of Australia's most successful business people and entrepreneurs. Welcome, Mark.
Hello, Michael. Always good to chat with you.
If you think about it, what message would you have wanted to say to your 20-something-year-old if you could go back and give them a message?
There's a bunch of things. I mean, part of it is a little bit of a nurture and a little bit of clip over the year as well. But I think the first thing that springs to mind for me, Michael, would be that hard work to the exclusion of all else is not the only path to success.
That's interesting. Well, I'd actually similarly point out that they do actually have to work hard, but in fact, it's not just hard work. You've got to actually look after yourself as well and actually have a balanced life and enjoy those years. Boy, would I have liked to have probably enjoyed it more. I think I was probably too driven, too focused in the first part of my life, Mark.
That's a common issue. I know for me, you know, when I was young, I was always taught that the only way to success was to work hard. Not that success was an ingredient, which of course it is, but it was the only ingredient. So I worked hard. I always had a job when I was at school. I went to uni. I worked two jobs. I started a professional career. I worked hard. And problem is, Michael, by the time I was in my 30s, I'd burned out. I'd lost my relationship with my kids. I'd lost my relationship in my marriage. You know, I nearly committed suicide. I mean, I just had to learn that hard work is actually an essential ingredient, but it's not the only ingredient that takes you on the path to success, Michael.
Funny about that, Mark, because I got the same lessons from my parents that I remember even during the school holidays. I wasn't allowed to have fun. I had to weed the garden and I had to work. And that was the only way they knew, Mark. My parents were migrants and they just thought you had to work hard. And interestingly, they didn't spend a lot of time looking after themselves. They didn't do exercise. They didn't do gym. I'd actually be going back to my younger self and saying, your health is important later in life. And so adopt habits then that are going to set you up for later in life. It's going to be a lot harder to get fit in your 40s if you've had a couple of decades of maybe not looking after yourself as much. So, you know, I'm actually much physically fitter than I was before. But I also, I guess, learned along the way that your physical fitness affects other areas of your life, your emotional state, but it actually makes you more sharper and harder and gives you more energy to work in your business, in your life, in your career.
Yeah, it does. It makes you more focused. I think it gives you that edge. And I've certainly watched, you know, during the time of our professional relationship and now our friendship, you know, I've watched you sort of get into those habits of looking after yourself. And it's actually been nice to see that. So that would have been a great thing for us all to learn as a younger person, wouldn't it?
Well, I'm pleased to see that my kids are taking much better care of their body than I did, or to be fair, their mum did. And so that makes me proud. They go to the gym, they do their exercise, they look after it. So, okay, so we've given ourselves one lesson. Yes, you've got to work, but have a balanced life and look after yourself. What other lesson would you pass on?
The other big thing for me would be that you don't actually save money by doing everything yourself. And, you know, in conversations you and I have had, I often talk about my dad, and, you know, he's always been a great inspiration for me. But Dad was incredibly talented. He really could turn his hand to anything. But the problem is that in the process of turning his hand to everything, it meant that he did everything himself. He was a watchmaker and jeweler by trade, but, you know, he serviced his own cars. He painted the house himself. And the whole idea of getting anybody into the home, for example, to do anything it was never on the agenda for him. So that's what I learned early on. I learned that I had to do everything myself. And by doing that, I'd save money. And what I do know now is that I shouldn't be doing the $25 an hour jobs. I should be using that hour to make more money, or to work on my fitness, to look after myself, to get some balance, spend time with my family. Something Dad never learned.
Well, Mark, it's something that I know you teach a lot of our clients at Business Accelerator Mastermind too, because not just in their lives, but in business, they haven't learned that lesson, have they?
No, they haven't. And speaking to business owners, you know, it's often that they spend so much time working in their business. And the one thing they say to me is, I feel like I'm constantly chasing my tail. I wish I had the opportunity to work on my business. But when we stop and start pulling things apart from them, we see there's a whole bunch of minor tasks they're doing that they could get rid of. Michael, I know you often talk about sort of the reticular activating system and seeing things once you're aware of them. The thing that I've noticed with this is the more I'm aware of it, the more I see it in other people. And I often tell this story about Caroline, who's my wife and our business partner. When I first spoke to Caroline about not doing these minor jobs, she was very much, I mean, she comes from a very traditional Maltese upbringing. So you do everything yourself. You never spend money on paying anybody to do anything. And I remember flying in from a trip away and getting home one morning, and I said to her, you know, how's the day been? She said, oh, it's been hectic. The cleaners turned up, the gardeners arrived, the ironing ladies brought the ironing back. And I thought, Well, that's great. She's now actually learnt the benefits of getting all of those smaller items off the plate and spending your time doing something more worthwhile.
Exactly. So you've got to value your own time. I think one of the lessons I'd love to have given my 20-year-old self is choose your friends carefully. See, many of us don't actively choose the people we spend time with. They just sort of become our friends, often the old friends from childhood, who may or may not have anything in common with you as you get older. One of the things is that you become like the people you hang around with. So if you want to be fit, you're probably going to hang around with a lot of people who wear Lycra and ride bikes. On the other hand, if you hang around with people who go to the pub after work and complain and whinge, you're going to end up more like them. So I believe it's really important to choose your friends carefully, choose your friends wisely. And that doesn't mean you've got to dump all your old friends, but choose people who've got similar goals, similar aspirations. It's going to keep you motivated. You're going to have somebody to share the wins with and the losses with. And I guess that's one of the reasons, as I've grown up, I've been careful in the sort of schools I've sent my children to and our grandchildren to, because it's not a judge of people, but I guess be careful about who you hang around with and what they're wanting out of life, because you have them as your mentors, as your guides. You're making choices every day whether you think you are or not, Mark.
Yeah, very much so. And the thing I've learned about that too, Michael, is that I've changed circles of friends, but it doesn't mean I've dumped old friends, as you say. It just means that I'm a little more selective about the time I spend with them and also the purpose of the time I spend with them. So I've got some friends who are good friends, and they're lovely people, but we don't share the same goals. We don't share the same aspirations. So I spend time with them and we just enjoy the company. We don't talk about goals. We don't talk about aspirations. And then I've got other friends who I love to talk about goals and aspirations. And, you know, that's something you and I talk about quite a lot. And I love having those conversations with those people because they actually help drive me to the next level.
Well, I remember last weekend you and Caroline shared with Pam and me the sort of house you want to eventually live in, a beautiful house right near the water, but your long-term goals and aspirations of your final home, not the final resting place.
No, that's a very small home.
It's the sort of thing that some people wouldn't understand. You'd feel a bit embarrassed talking about. So, yes, you've got to be able to have the right sort of people. This is one of the things we see in our investment world, where a lot of people feel isolated. They don't have people to share experiences with. And similarly, I know you see it with the clients of Business Accelerator Mastermind, that they actually don't have a peer group that they can talk to. It's something that holds them back from moving forward.
Yeah, the thing that we often see with that in business is that business owners, entrepreneurs, and professionals in practice, Michael, will often say, it's just so lonely. And if you don't have like-minded people around you, not only can they not help drive you to the next level, but how do you share some of those wins, those lessons, those hopes, those dreams and desires, but also some of those losses as well in a really safe, supporting environment?
But that's normal. Things do go wrong and you do have to have somebody to share them with. And of course, you've got your life partner to do that as well. But I guess what we're talking about there was my lesson: choose your friends carefully. Mark, would you like to give another lesson, please?
I wish that as a young person, I'd understood the value of getting a mentor. And again, if we go back to what I was saying before about, you know, doing things yourself and I sound like I'm being critical of my parents. I mean, I had an amazing upbringing. I love them both very dearly, but they worked on the basis that whatever you had to do, you had to learn yourself. So I was always taught, you know, go to school, be an A student, study hard, work hard, do everything yourself, learn everything yourself. Interestingly, as I got older and I went through my kind of burnout in my mid-30s, I realized how generous people actually are prepared to be. And Michael, you and I were having this very conversation only yesterday.
Yes. Yes, I know what you're about to say.
Yeah, it's interesting when you go out and seek a mentor, how giving those mentors are. And as I shared with you yesterday, people say to me, I'd love to sort of have that conversation with Michael Yardney about that. And I know how generous you are with your time. So I think I wish I'd gotten a mentor much earlier.
Well, only an hour ago, I was speaking with another business person, and in fact, you know who it is. He was asking, how did Metropole become so successful? How did I become so successful? And while there are a number of parts to the story, there's two things I attribute it to. And one is my wealth operating system, my mindset, the way I'm programmed. But the other is having mentors. So even though I think I've got the right headspace, I've grown much faster, much quicker, stood on the shoulder of my mentors. And interestingly, let's be blunt, you've been my mentor for the last 10 years as my business coach. I've had a couple of other business coaches before, but you can have multiple mentors, some of them virtual mentors today by listening to podcasts, by watching YouTube videos. But the thing I learned was be prepared to pay for a good mentor. Sometimes they don't have to be further advanced than you in your, whether it's your sporting career. I mean, you'll see lots of coaches who aren't as good as the tennis player or the golfer, or business coaches as well. The trouble, of course, today, though, Mark, is so many people want to be a business coach, want to be a mentor, put up a website, have a YouTube channel. That's the challenge. You've got to get a mentor, but you've got to get somebody who, what's that old saying, those who can do and those who can't teach?
I remember saying that to one of my university professors once. It didn't go down that well. But that's one of the great frustrations in business coaching, I guess. But when you're looking for a mentor, what I've always done is looked around and gone, who's walked this path beforehand? Who's had an experience that I can learn from? And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're necessarily making a lot more money or a lot more successful, but maybe they've had just an experience that I don't want to have. And then they can now share that with me so that I can pass it. The other thing, Michael, is I love that saying, the concept of standing on the shoulders of giants. It's so much easier and you can see so much farther when you've actually got a mentor or a group of people around you who are prepared to help you in that way.
I remember a number of years ago, when we were able to travel, we went on a cruise and there were some countries in the poorer part of Africa that still had landmines. And I remember Princess Di used to go there and she had a passion for helping people in that country. But she wouldn't walk through those minefields on her own. She walked behind somebody who knew where the landmines were so she wouldn't step on them. And that's what I see a good coach doing as well.
Looking out for blind spots. And do you know what? That's something that you and I do for each other even to this day. I mean, we had a conversation about that yesterday morning.
And I think another benefit from a mentor is that they actually have a diversity of experience. So with regard to property mentors, you want somebody who doesn't just understand the Melbourne property market, but understands Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, all of Australia, that doesn't just understand about property, but understands about tax and finance and financial planning and the government plans and demographics and all the changes. And with regard to a business mentor, if all they understood was dentistry, if you're a dentist, or the printing business, if you're a printer, you probably wouldn't get the same benefit as you'd get from somebody who's got a diversity of experience from working in a number of different industries.
No, that's right, because you end up with a little bit of tunnel vision. It's one of the issues with industry events when, you know, you have a go along to an industry event, you speak to other people in your industry, they'll share their experience with you, but it's quite funneled or tunneled, and you don't actually get to see that there are things happening outside your industry that are working really well. And with a bit of a tweak and a bit of an adjust, there's no reason why they can't work in your industry as well. And as you know, Michael, that's something that we do in Business Accelerator Mastermind all the time.
Sure. One of the lessons I'd go back and talk to my previous self about is understand the concept of taking risks. Because as a child, I was taught to avoid risk taking. Very rarely do authority figures when you're a child say, go for it. Well, they do when you're little and then they stop you from falling over and they wanting to, your parents have got the best intentions. Now, I'm not talking about taking reckless risks, but I'm suggesting not letting fear stop you from taking calculated ones. Most people strive to achieve security in life, but when you get to our age, Mark, you realize there's no such thing, especially in today's insecure economic environment, job market. Just look what happened to people's jobs last year. People who were good business people had their doors closed on them. It wasn't in their control. I'd teach myself that risk and insecurity is part of life. And in fact, it's one of the things that gives you richness. Many people, we see it, we come across it. I spoke to an accountant client of ours today. He was not an accountant as a bean counter, but he works in a big corporation and he's very, very risk averse. And so therefore what's holding him back is his internal thinking. He's walking around with one foot on the accelerator, but his other foot's firmly planted on the brake. He'd avoid risk almost at all costs. And you're never going to grow that way, Mark. So you need to learn when it's time to jump into a new venture, into a new challenge, to get involved in investment. If you're young, you've actually got time to recover if you even make a couple of failures.
Well, Michael, that's very true. And the other thing too is that Name me a successful person, a truly successful person that you know that hasn't had at least one pretty damn good failure under their belt, because I don't know any.
100%. In fact, we have often spoken about some of our clients and people we know who are very cocky early in life and they haven't had a failure, and so therefore they actually don't fully understand and have the perspective that people who've actually been there had. So, in fact, I don't particularly like employing people who haven't had some failures in life. It means they haven't had a go.
Yeah, that's very true. So it is about taking that risk, 100%. I guess the other thing, Michael, that if I could go back and speak to my younger self, and this is, you'll start to see a sort of a pattern, is that rich people are okay. I was always sort of told that, you know, rich people were either wankers or crooks. You know, they got their money by being crooked. And I can still remember now, you know, my mother or my grandfather saying, you know, you can't get that kind of money. Honestly, that was just looking through their lens of working hard, trading time for money. And so from their point of view, you can't get wealthy by just trading time for money because there's that ceiling. And so understanding that, I think, as a younger person, understanding the concept of leverage, understanding the concept of scalability, and also understanding the difference between being rich and being wealthy, and understanding that you can actually be both.
It's not an either or. Exactly right. So while the average person thinks you can't be rich and happy, or you can't be rich and love people, it's definitely not an either or. I think one of the lessons I'd go back and talk about is the concept of delayed gratification, making investment a priority. Now, to me, it was. So therefore, I actually was very hungry. I was very driven. And in fact, too much so, to the point where it wasn't healthy and it ruined my first marriage. But I believe at some point when you start making a good salary, you've got to actually learn to spend less than you earn. Because what tends to happen is, and that's what I did when I started, I earned something, so I bought another car, and I earned something, I bought a bigger car. My advice would be to put at least 10%, but probably 20% aside and save. And then once you've got enough savings, start to invest it. And if you've got a longer runway, if you start doing it in your 20s, you're much, much more likely to have that asset base later on in life. But that's the same in all areas of life. You've got to learn to the delayed gratification. So you spend an extra couple of years at university or college or a trade. Get something, get a skill behind you. Because if you have those skills that are always going to be in strong demand, you're going to earn more. And that's a compounding thing over the rest of your life, Mark.
Yeah, it is, Michael. And you can see how these sort of lessons all kind of interlink in lots of ways, because that lesson is also about investing in yourself and understanding the importance of investing in yourself. As you said, you know, get the best mentor that you can pay for. We often see it in business too, don't we? People have a little bit of success in business and next minute, you know, they've bought the next house or they've leased the new luxury car, as opposed to going, do you know what? Let's just take the success you've got, take some of the money you're making, put it back into the business, solidify that success, scale the business to the next level, and then you can enjoy all the fruits of your labor that you like.
Now, of course, you've got to enjoy the journey along the way. If you don't enjoy the journey, you won't enjoy the destination. So there's always that difficult balancing act. But when you're young, the future is so far away that some people find it hard to just save. But then life moves on. You have kids. One partner stops working for a while. Illnesses happen. Things come out of the blue. So it is important to learn that savings discipline and investment discipline early in life.
And I liked your analogy, Michael, saying that if the runway is long, because my brother-in-law is a pilot, and the hardest part of flying is actually getting the thing in the air. So that's where the hard work is. That's where all the power is taken. That's where all the energy is taken. So if you've got a longer runway, you put the hard work in the early part of the journey. Once you're in the air, then you can sit back and relax just that little bit more.
When my children asked me what should they do in life, I gave them a different answer to what my parents wanted. My parents were migrants and wanted me to get a good education and get a high-paying job and get a profession. But I told them to find something that they enjoy and that motivates them, because I learned along the way that there's roadblocks, there's hurdles, there's difficult times. Despite all the best plans, there are things that come out of the blue to mess them up. So you have to have passion in what you do, otherwise you won't get through. There's also an element of resilience that you've got to keep having to drive you. But if you're not enjoying what you're doing, it's really hard to have that resilience, Mark.
Oh, almost impossible. I often think about all, you watch some of those people in the city, you know, trudging off to their jobs that they hate and not really getting any enjoyment. So, but you know what, Michael, they're the people that won't take the risk. They won't take that little bit of risk to find something else and get that balance. The good thing is that balance is actually there if you look for it.
Well, they think they're safe. They think they're secure. They think they're not taking a risk. But in fact, if you're dependent upon a job or your boss, you are taking a risk, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. And there's nothing has shown that more, I think, than 2020. How much of a risk it is if your job is dependent on someone else.
Now, we're going to go through a couple more lessons. I've got a couple, and I know you have also, that we'd like to discuss. But we've mentioned a couple of times about you being my business coach and clients of Business Accelerator Mastermind, the people you're giving some training to. So I'd like to declare, for those who don't know by now, that we are business partners in Business Accelerator Mastermind. You're also a partner in a national director in other parts of the Metropole business. And I think that's actually good, because you're bringing a different perspective to the property business, because we're not really in the property business. Our business is to help our clients grow, protect, and pass on their wealth holistically. Property is just the vehicle. And for a lot of people, business is the cash flow vehicle. For a lot of professionals, business provides the cash flow, but it actually doesn't give them an out. It doesn't give them a way of enjoying that longest holiday, the life they're going to have when they eventually retire. So I think your job is to help them maximize their business income so they can actually divert it to property or other things.
Yeah, definitely. It's to actually help them to have a business and not just a job, Michael.
That's a good point, because they think they've got a business. So how do you define the difference? What's the difference?
Well, the difference is if you've got what you think is a business, but it's entirely dependent on you. You can't step out of the business for an extended period of time. And I'm not talking about taking 6 months or 12 months off, but a lot of people in business, if they step out of their business for 4 weeks for an annual holiday, there's no revenue coming in. Nothing happens. It's so dependent on them. And if that's the case, you really do have a job, except it's worse, because at least in a job you get 4 weeks paid leave and leave loading.
And superannuation and sick leave.
Yeah. And somebody else will do your job for you while you're away. So it is about helping people to move to that level, what we call a level three business. And that's what Business Accelerator Mastermind is. It's a business coaching program that helps people. They get to work one-on-one with me. They get to work as a part of a group. It's what we call our tribe. And, you know, Mike, you were talking before about carefully choosing your friends. I think that's one of the things I love about Mastermind is the tribe, because what we're very careful about who we have in the program, so that the tribe around the program, actually we get this collective momentum all moving forward and a whole bunch of shared wisdom at the same time.
Well, actually, interestingly, that combines a couple of the lessons we've taught ourselves to actually choose your friends wisely, to get a mentor. It's okay to be rich. Take risks, but calculated risks. Another lesson I'd say is learn. No need to reinvent the wheel, though. Get people around you who are older and wiser than you, but make sure you learn from them. Be prepared to be open. Ask questions. Study how they've done things. Find somebody who you'd like to be like 20 years later on in life is what I'd be telling my person, and have them as your mentor. Now, that's one of the things that I did and I aspired to, and I saw people who were very successful in property. I saw people who had built substantial wealth, and that's what I wanted to do, and that's what I did. But interestingly, it's easier today than when I was young, but it's even easier if you've got a mentor and if you've got a tribe such as in Business Accelerator Mastermind.
Yeah, it is, Michael. It fast-tracks the process. And I was sharing with you this morning after one of our sessions with the tribe this morning how somebody asked a question that I had an answer to, but, you know, a couple of other people in the tribe, not only did they have an answer, but they had an experience that they could share. It was, well, actually, I just did that last week, so let me tell you what I did. Oh, and let me also tell you the mistake I made, so that when you do it next week, you don't make that mistake. And for me, that's one of the things I love about Mastermind.
So they have one-on-one time with you. They have many time through online so that they can do it during their busy day. If they haven't got time, they can always watch the plays and the videos. And then I'm actually looking forward to the intensive that we're having up on the Gold Coast shortly, because missed out on that last time. But three times a year when we actually get together and work together in, it's called an intensive, but it actually is, because you get a lot done in a short period of time, because it's actually hard work. It's not just learning. You actually have to come out with plans.
Yeah, that's right. It's a deep dive, and it's practical, it's hands-on, So you actually walk out with some strategies that you can implement in your business virtually straight away to bring about some real change.
Well, I'll leave a link in the show notes about Business Accelerator Mastermind, or you can go to metropolemastermind.com.au. And we gave it that name, Mark, but it's much more than a mastermind. But it came from the concept that in a mastermind, one and one doesn't equal two, but it equals three or four or multiple, because the power of having the right people around you makes a big, big difference.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Mark, let's finish off with one last lesson for our younger self. What would you say?
I would say don't compare your life with other people. And you and I have spoken about this lots of times, but it's an interesting thing. Michael, I still compare my life, my situation, my success with other people, but I do it very differently. So my younger self would have compared it with from a jealousy perspective. Oh, look how well they're doing. That you know, I wish I could do that. Whereas what I do now is, wow, look what they're doing. How am I going to do that? How am I going to get there? So now it's kind of envious, I guess, but it's envy by using it as a motivation as opposed to a dismissive jealousy, which all gets back to, you know, they must be crooks or whatever it might be. So I think if I could go back and grab a 20-year-old Mark, I'd say, look to those people around you who you admire for their success and work out how you're going to emulate it as opposed to being jealous of it.
I think that's a great lesson. The other one is don't believe everything that you see on social media. So don't be jealous of people on Instagram and Facebook. We know it. We see it with some of the people that we deal with, that the outside world sees a very, very different message to what's happening inside. The other thing is don't compare your chapter 20 with somebody's chapter 40. They've had 20 years ahead of you to get to where they are. So again, don't be jealous, but if they can do it, you can do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So are we at chapter 20 or chapter 40, Michael?
Well, I'm at chapter 68.
I'm not that far behind you, mate.
So I think it was interesting just to go back down and have this lesson. I remember I did this at a seminar at Coolum on the Gold Coast, or not the Sunshine Coast, I think it was, many, many years ago with Brad Sugars. And what he did was he closed your eyes and the room was dark and he visualized and you were walking in a park. And as you were walking in the park, there's somebody sitting on the bench and it was a young person. And what advice would you give the young person? And you went through this sort of exercise, and as you were sitting there, you visualized that person and it was the younger you. And it gave me at that time lots of goosebumps. I can feel it now as I'm discussing it. But it was a very powerful exercise. And one of the things I did was I gave myself permission. And I also forgave myself for the mistakes I made in my life. And I warned myself about some of the mistakes I was going to make in my life, even though it was a little bit too late. But it actually does show the power of these sort of exercises. And that's partly why I thought it'd be a good exercise for us to do. It also shows the power of getting together with a group of people. And that's what we're going to be doing on the Gold Coast in June. We missed out last year, but at Wealth Retreat this year. Because people ask, how did I come up with the concept of the Metropole group of companies? And it was actually at that event at Coolum that Brad Sugars made me design the company that you and I are a part of now. Now we've got 75 employees in our company. We're Australia's largest buyer's agency. We're Australia's most respected strategic property advice company. We look after over $2 billion worth of assets for clients. And it all came about by making a plan and moving forward. That's what you and I are going to be doing at Wealth Retreat on the Gold Coast. And that's aimed at investors. But over the last years, there's been quite a change, and there are special sessions that you're going to be running for business owners and professionals. What are you planning to share with them on the Gold Coast this year, Mark?
Michael, I want to show people how they can actually move from that job to a business, how to move to that scale out to what we call that level three business. I guess the other thing, Michael, is that even though it will be aimed at business owners, a lot of the skills that we talk about work just as well for you if you are employed some of them actually just work at home as well. In fact, I was sharing a little exercise with one of our mastermind members the other day, and she said to me, oh, that's great. I'm going to use that with my kids. Now, the great insight about that is where I actually learned that was in a parenting course. And I took that from a parenting course and worked out that, you know, sometimes staff are like kids, so we can apply that in our business as well. So we can help them to see how they can move to that scaled out position.
Now, I know that created huge breakthroughs because you can learn so much from the books and you can learn so much on the internet and from podcasts, but actually being in the environment with other successful business owners, entrepreneurs, investors works really well. But you're right. I was impressed, surprised, but now that we've been doing it for so many years, I'm not surprised anymore how the non-business owners and the non-professionals who had an opportunity to walk out of those sessions and do other things stayed in your sessions because they actually got so much benefit from it.
Yeah, and it's what we talk about is real world stuff. This isn't theory. This is real world knowledge that we know works. It's tried, it's tested, it's proven. I'm actually really excited about Wealth Retreat. I'm excited to get back to it. I really missed it last year. You know, I said this to somebody the other day, and I know this is a big call. I've never spoken to someone who's been to Wealth Retreat who hasn't said to me, that's changed my life. And I know that's a huge call, but that's a fact. I've never spoken to somebody who said, I've been to Wealth Retreat. I've never heard anybody say that it actually hasn't so impacted them that it's changed their life. And I think that's a great credit to the experience.
I'm embarrassed when I say that to people because it sounds like it's such a trump up. Is that a word I'm even allowed to say today politically? But the answer is it does make a difference. So if you're wanting to plan to make the rest of your life the best of your life, Wealth Retreat is about where you're going to be in 5 years' time. And it's not really a property seminar. It's about you. Now, sure, we spend a lot of time talking about property. Sure, we spend a lot of time talking about business. But you're going to come out with a crystal clear 5-year plan, a holistic plan about your life, about relationships, about your health, about spirituality, about contribution, about recreation. And then we're going to give you a toolbox full of tools to be able to achieve that. So if you're interested in joining us at Wealth Retreat, go to wealthretreat.com.au, find out all about it. And you can't even book in because I spend time with everybody who's keen to come. Spend one-on-one time with them to make sure it's going to suit them. And Mark, you become a more and more important part of it. So look forward to spending. We hardly see each other nowadays with live face-to-face because of COVID and the travel and the rules. But we're going to spend 5 days together. It's been a long time since we've done that.
It has been a long time. I'm very much looking forward to it. And I think you can say Trump, can't you?
Well, what I hear is he's going to have his own social media platform now. So that'll be interesting.
Or do you have to say you're just biding your time?
Okay. Thank you for your time. And it was great having a chat again with you. And now some people who are in their 20s are going to wonder what to do with this. Who are they going to give these lessons to? Let's see what happens to you when you get to our age and what lessons you're going to tell your younger self. Catch up with you again real soon, Mark.
Talk soon, Michael.
Well, I hope you got some inspiration from my chat with Mark today. And even though you can't go back in time and speak to your younger self, you're going to be able to use some of these tips for your future self. Now, if you did get some benefit, if you got some inspiration and you know somebody else who'd benefit from it, why not tell them about the Michael Yardley podcast? Or you can tell the world by leaving a review on your favorite podcast app. But share the message, please. And if you want to catch up with me in between these podcasts, just look for me on social media, Michael Yardley, and you could join my private Facebook group. Just look for the Property Update Facebook group. And each day I share some little tips, often charts, some commentary that I don't share elsewhere. It'll give you a chance to peek behind the curtain and have an insight about what I'm thinking about property. I look forward to catching up with you again real soon. In the meantime, have a great week. Make it a great week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Michael Yardney podcast, which was brought to you by Metropole, who help their clients grow, protect, and pass on their wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. If you like what you heard and don't already subscribe, you'll find us on iTunes or on your favorite Android app as the Michael Yardney podcast. Watch out for our next show, which comes to you twice a week, and you'll learn some new ideas about property investment, success, and money in around 30 minutes. To get more of Michael's thoughts, go across to www.propertyupdate.com.au and sign up for his daily morning briefing, and you'll hear from not only Michael, but a group of leading property success and money experts. And just a reminder that the information you heard in this show today is general educational advice and not specific investment advice, as we don't know your personal circumstances. If you're looking for specific advice, why not ask the team at Metropole to help you?